a Bitcoin specific conference is very, very different. It's so focused, it's so dialed in. Now, I left that event thinking like, there's just no way, even if I don't want us to win, there's nothing that's not going to stop this. Like the amount of brain power and capital and just everything that was in this room, it was very infectious. So I wanted to try to replicate that feeling.
This week, we are talking about the importance of Bitcoin events. And we are joined by the co-founder of the largest Bitcoin-only conference that happens in Australia, Bitcoin Alive. Chris Pavlicek has been involved in the Bitcoin industry for over 10 years. And this is the third go-around for Bitcoin Alive, which I'm fortunate enough to be a part of. A lot happens at Bitcoin events. I love to attend them myself. The first one I went to was a game-changing experience for me in my journey as a Bitcoiner. Lots of interesting insights from Chris in his travels and what we can expect from this year's upcoming event in Sydney. Stick around. Well, this is a very special episode. All right. Welcome to another episode of the Block Reward Podcast. This week, we are joined by Chris Pavlicek from Bitcoin Live, a upcoming Bitcoin conference, which I am headed to myself to participate in and join as a speaker based in Sydney, Australia. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Scott. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, right on. I'm excited to meet you in person and always looking for a good reason or even a bad one to get back down to Australia. So very excited. Maybe let's just start and talk a little bit about what you're doing at Bitcoin Alive and how did all this start?
Yeah, it's a great question. Thanks, Scott. Also very, very looking forward to having you down under and meeting and hanging out. It's going to be a lot of fun in a couple of weeks' time. So yeah, the genesis story of Bitcoin Alive, I guess, goes back a couple of years, but I guess the roots are probably even deeper than that here in Australia. As you would know, and as many of your listeners probably know, they've run into an Aussie at some point in their Bitcoin lives. We seem to be sort of everywhere. At every conference, there'll always be a couple of Aussies around. On every podcast, there's usually an Aussie around. You know, we do pretty well for some random island in the middle of the ocean. You know, there's a big buzzing Bitcoin community here. Whilst we don't have the population base than, you know, compared to say North America or Europe or any of these other parts of the world, we bat well above our average in terms of our quality. But, you know, a Bitcoin conference was something that's, I think, a lot of the Bitcoin community in Australia were calling out for some time. I can now see in hindsight why it hadn't happened, because it's a lot of work and a lot of risk and a lot of effort for not much reward other than the fact that we get to put this cool thing on every year, which to be honest is generally enough for me because I think it's very important. But yeah, the genesis story of Bitcoin Alive basically goes back to about 2022, I think it was. Here in Australia, we've kind of got a lot of state-based Bitcoin meetups. So every state in this country, which is very, you know, far spread apart, has their own Bitcoin group or their own Bitcoin meetup, and they happen on a fortnightly, monthly basis. And some have been going for years, some are a little newer, but they're all around the country and they're really great. And so myself and other two co-founders, Dylan and Jess, we find ourselves part of the Sydney Bitcoin group. And so we kind of met in there, I guess. And there was some conversation happening about, hey, why isn't there a Bitcoin conference in this country? Which is a conversation as old as time. Here in Australia, we kind of got conversing. There was maybe like half a dozen of us having a chat about it. So we decided, you know, we'll remove ourselves from the main channel and go into a private group to do the discussion to see, like, is there actually legs here? Can we actually make this go somewhere? After a bit of back and forth, we jumped on a call. We eventually kind of whittled ourselves organically down to the three of us. People dropped off, didn't have the capacity to help out on what we were thinking of doing in terms of scale. And so like the last man or last women standing were myself, Dylan and Jess. And so we basically kicked on with the idea. We come at it from, I think, pretty unique perspectives. Obviously, I'm an entrepreneur and I've been an entrepreneur in this industry for almost the last 10 years. I love solving problems, especially problems of my own. This is what effectively Bitcoin Alive has done. You know, I'm lucky enough to have been traveled around the world and gone to a lot of great conferences, some in El Salvador, some in America, you know, all over the world, I should say. But unfortunately, that's just not realistic for a lot of people, you know, traveling from Australia, you know, putting their career on hold to go to a conference for a couple of days on the other side of the world is very costly and very inefficient use of time. So I wanted to bring that to Australia. And so that was one of our first missions, was basically just bring an event to this country so other people didn't have to go travel 20 hours in a plane. But yeah, Dylan, Jess and I kind of have a unique set of skills. Jess is a professional events manager. So sort of without her, we don't have logistics and all of the industry know-how of how to put on an actual event. And, you know, running a meetup is one thing, and I've done countless of those over the years in different parts of this country. But stepping up to the next level, which is a full-blown professional conference, it's a decent step. It's not just, you know, grab a pub or grab a venue area in a pub, give everyone some drinks and feed them. This is, you know, professional audio and visual, professional event space. You're talking about every little detail thought about down to the setup of the chairs, you know, everything, right? So, you know, the three of us basically got together at the end of 2022 and said, hey, let's give it a go. You know, we've got the sort of experience in terms of the Bitcoin side of things, and we've got the experience in terms of the event management side of things within the team. So let's put all that brain power together and see how far it can take us. And so in 2023, we did our first event. We were kind of crazy. We basically formed the team more or less in an official capacity and registered the business at the end of 2022. I think it was like November, December, end of 2022. And then we announced our first event in April 2023. So like 4.5 months after we come up with the idea of even doing it, which, you know, if you work in the event space, you know that that's probably not the way to do it. You want generally like at least 4 months of promotion, let alone, you know, ideation to delivery. But in saying that, like many Bitcoiners, you know, we like to think we're quite competent. And so we were able to actually put that together really well. And we had a fantastic first year event, kind of, you know, I think showcased to everyone what's capable. And so then we basically grew year on year on that model. And so we did our second event in 2024 and last year in March, and that went well again. And so now we're coming around for our third party, you know, in, I think, when this airs, maybe in a couple of weeks' time from it. But yeah, early March 2025. So we're super excited about, you know, coming around for our third event. We're starting to sort of get established as a brand, I guess you could say. Again, one of the downsides of being in Australia is you're tucked away in a different part of the world compared to everyone else. That can sometimes be a good thing, can sometimes be a bad thing. But another one of our initial goals was to put Bitcoin Alive on the global conference map. So when you're thinking about, hey, I'm going to adopting Bitcoin in El Salvador, hey, I'm going to the Bitcoin events in Nashville or in Las Vegas or wherever they move them around to, or I'm going to go to, you know, BTC Prague. There are all these like cornerstone Bitcoin events all around the world. We wanted Bitcoin Alive to slot into that conversation and say, hey, you know, we represent this part of Earth. And so, yes, people are starting to take notice of that now. I've had, you know, other people who haven't been to the event meet other people at other events and say, hey, I was at Bitcoin Live. It was really good. You know, you should think about going. And then they pass that feedback on to me. So it's really nice to know that, you know, people are enjoying themselves and sharing their experiences with other Bitcoiners in hope that, you know, maybe they come and visit the country at a later date. That's what we find a lot of international speakers and a lot of international guests. It's a bit of a draw card for them. It's like, hey, I've always wanted to go to Australia, but hell, it's really far away. I need a few extra excuses beyond, you know, petting some kangaroos and touching some koalas, which are cruel things to do. You know, if you can tack on a Bitcoin event and engage with the Bitcoin community, then that might be the reason, final straw for someone to make the decision to come along to Australia.
Yeah, it is a great draw and reason to go to Australia and cities especially, you know, like I'm a travel person myself and it's one of the greatest cities in the world for sure. And for anybody who's wanted to go to Sydney and hasn't and is looking for a great reason, it is an awesome reason to go to like a place on its own that is just a really awesome draw. So you got me there. We did an episode on Bitcoin meetups a few months ago and the power of sort of like the social connection of Bitcoin. And actually this, you know, sort of my connection to Bitcoin Alive did start of the Sydney Bitcoin meetup, which I happened to be in town for the last time I was in Sydney. And so that's a very cool connection. But I think you make a great point about truly like the next level up is our events and places where, you know, people maybe have access to a different level of speaker or a bigger, a broader community. Like what are sort of like the key you know, outside of putting Australia on the map for having a great global Bitcoin event, like what are the goals of Bitcoin Alive? Like what are you guys hoping to deliver for people who attend?
Yeah, great question. Thanks for asking that. Look, you're right about, you know, being a different level. And we are blessed in this country to have a number of different events and social experiences that people can have, ranging from local meetups like the Bitcoin Sydney meetup that you attended when you were previously here. We've also got something called the Bitcoin Bush Bash.
The Bush Bash. I was going to ask you about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like a layered approach, I guess you could say, in this country. So we've got the local meetups, which happen more frequently. They're a smaller scale down. They're very welcoming. I mean, all of these events should be very welcoming, but you know, it's perhaps less daunting. They're usually free. They're in a comfortable setting like a pub or somewhere very relaxed. Then you've got the Bush Bash, which is, you know, perhaps that next step up in terms of dedication to the mission. You've got to drive out to some bush remote location that's probably anywhere from 3 to 6 hours from where you live, if not even further, because this country's so big. So you've got to put in that proof of work. You go out for the weekend. It's also free. It's a bit more intense in terms of the community and some of the topics. And then you've got kind of Bitcoin Alive, which sits sort of at the next layer above that, which is the full-blown once-a-year national conference that kind of connects everything together and gives Bitcoin, hopefully, that even brighter light on the main stage for this country. So I think that's kind of the approach in terms of meetups and social events here in Australia, or at least that's my understanding of them. And I've attended all of them, and they're all fantastic. And I encourage anyone to do this wherever they are, whether it's in Australia or abroad. You know, go to a local meetup, converse with the community. You're going to meet some amazing people. You're going to meet some amazing minds. You probably make some great friends, and you'll start to build your own conviction and start to get even more inquisitive in what this beautiful thing is, that Bitcoin. But in terms of what our goals are, you know, we kind of know that that's our place. We are the national Bitcoin conference. We're the thing that's likely to get the biggest amount of attention from the broadest eyes. So we take that responsibility, and we try to deliver on certain things. But ultimately, one of our main goals is to obviously onboard more Bitcoiners and get more people interested in Bitcoin. There's that funnel there, right? Like some people come in from the bottom, they go through the local meetups, maybe they get a friend to bring them along, or maybe they hear about it in a local meetup page or a Telegram group, and then they go through to the Bush Bash. Or maybe people come the other way as well. Maybe some people get to the top of the funnel and realize like, hey, there's a Bitcoin event. There's this huge national Bitcoin event happening in Sydney, and cool, like that sounds like something I might want to give a go. Maybe I'll see what it's like. And then from there, they get ingrained in the community. They meet people, then they meet people in their local area. And then they go, hey, we've actually got this monthly reoccurring event that happens. Do you want to come along to that? And then, you know, that's how they get their way into the community. And before you know it, they're one of us, so to speak. But yeah, like, you know, as the National Bitcoin Conference, you know, we're just trying to connect everything that's happening in this country in a central point on a yearly basis. That was one of our initial goals as well. It's just like, hey, this has never been done before. Like we're a little fractured because of the geographical size of this country. What happens in Perth, they're 3 hours behind in a time zone compared to Sydney. So like, we just don't know what's going on there unless we're communicating online, and that's obviously being lost in translation. And, you know, so there's just so much fracture just physically between each of these meetups that we just want to bring everyone together on a yearly basis and put them in a room, lock the doors, so to speak, and find out what happens. Turns out everyone really enjoys themselves, and people make friends, and they make new social connections, and podcasts form, and businesses start, and like all of this energy, you know, it kind of, what inspired me to do this on a bigger scale was when I went to adopting Bitcoin in El Salvador in 2022, I think it was. I've been there twice. I think it was 2022. It was the first year. And it was the first time I ever gone to like a proper Bitcoin-only conference. And it just blew me away. Like obviously I had the El Salvadorian fever as well, because they just announced legal tender and, you know, everything, things were buzzing there. But to go to a Bitcoin-only conference and to see the focus and just the high intellect and energy of that community blew me away. Like I was like, okay, this is nothing like any of the crypto, blockchain, Web3, fintech, insert buzzword conference like that I had been to previously. A Bitcoin specific conference is very, very different. It's so focused. It's so dialed in. Now, I left that event thinking like, there's just no way, even if I don't want us to win, there's nothing that's not going to stop this. Like the amount of brain power and capital and just everything that was in this room. It was very infectious. So I wanted to try and replicate that feeling here in Australia and build, obviously, in my local region. You know, Australia is, like you said, a very beautiful country, not just Sydney, but all parts of Australia is extremely beautiful. It's one of the greatest countries in the world. I know many people would say that about their own as well, and so they should. But, you know, we really do have an exciting and beautiful country. It's a shame it's run by some clowns, but we can work on that over time. But yeah, we wanted to basically highlight that feeling and give all of the Australian Bitcoiners an opportunity to connect and to represent themselves on a bigger stage that, you know, didn't exist previously.
Yeah. You know, I, as a Bitcoiner, I couldn't agree more. Bitcoin only event that I went to was Swan's Pacific Bitcoin in 2023. And I had the same experience. It was just, okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty inspiring. And I think, you know, when we had the conversation that we did about meetups, you know, I think meetups sort of play a critical role for local people in meeting other Bitcoiners. And, you know, that's a really great step forward. But going to a conference is, I think, for a lot of people, like a real light bulb moment where they have an opportunity to see different speakers or really just see the level of conviction that people who already are attending these events have. And that is, you know, it's just such a cool part about Bitcoin. I think, you know, in Australia, you guys have a similar challenge. In Canada, we have Canadian Bitcoin Conference. Yeah, there are a few events, but it's also a huge country and it's a journey for a lot of people to get to. So yeah, kudos to you for taking the lead and making it happen.
It was bound to happen. At some point in time, we would have an Australian-based Bitcoin conference, whether it when we did it or 5 years on or 5 years earlier, like it was going to happen. Someone had to do it. Obviously, it hadn't been done. So the opportunity presented itself. And, you know, we'd like to hope that we've got the right set of skills and the right principles and morals to put this thing on the way that people want it to be put on. One thing I've realized, you're never going to make everyone happy. But, you know, to the people that complain or have feedback, we welcome. But to the ones that just aren't happy, then like go and make your own Bitcoin conference or go and do your own Bitcoin project. There's nothing like putting in the proof of work. If you're not happy, that's how the free market works. Go and do it the way that you want it done. So, you know, it's hard to please hundreds, thousands of people because everyone has their own personalities and desires and motivations. But we try our best to put a very holistic event on that caters to a lot of people. You know, for some Bitcoiners, perhaps you and I, you know, we've heard a lot of the content. We've know all the speakers. We listen to the podcasts. We read the blogs. Like this is like an ongoing thing for us. We're all in, so to speak. So for a conference, like perhaps there's not a lot of value to be had in hearing new content because the content is stuff that you're consuming throughout the year. But, you know, connecting on a social level is what brings a lot of those people to these events. So, you know, it's always nice to hear from your favorite speakers in person and it's a great feeling, but there's nothing better than just shaking a hand, sharing a beer, having a laugh, conversing, having a debates and about what the scaling solutions might look like into the future. Like all of those things you can't do sat behind a computer and a keyboard. Like we are social creatures, you know, even the introverts, even the extroverts, we all at some point in time enjoy socializing to some capacity. And so this is our opportunity to do it on a scale that can't really be done anywhere else on a yearly basis. So that's what brings me to these events. But, you know, that's my own bias. I've been in the industry for over 10 years now. Someone who's only been here for 10 months, they're coming at this at a completely different angle. So as an event organizer, we need to be able to go, okay, that's one of our target audiences. This is what they want to try to get from the event. They're paying money to us. That we take that with great responsibility that, hey, people are giving us money. We need to be able to give them back that same amount of money in value, whether that's from an experience or being able to absorb information or giving them an exhibitor booth to be able to see what the latest products and offerings are on the marketplace. Like whatever that might be, everyone falls into one of these kind of buckets and we do our best to kind of go, okay, well, how do we cater to all of those people as best as we can, knowing that we can't perfect it for everyone, but we'll do our best to give them what they want.
So it's year three and you've been like tweaking it along the way. Is there something in particular that you're personally excited about for this year's agenda or something that's new for this year?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like that's, we always want to evolve and try to make the event better and learn from previous mistakes and and insights. I think the one thing that I'm, well, there's a couple of things. So first, we've never ran our conference in a more bullish part of the cycle. So I'm hoping that just, you know, I've been in this industry for a long time running my own businesses. I know how cyclic this is. I used to run a hardware wallet reseller business for nearly 9 years, and our hardware wallet sales would like identically track the price of Bitcoin. Like I'm talking to the day. Like if the price went up 20%, we would see a 20% increase in sales from the day before. Like it's that highly correlated. I think over time, maybe that will become less correlated, but as this industry is still kind of immature and this asset class is still growing, we're going to see that correlation. So I'm most excited that, hey, we're actually going to get this bullish sentiment in the industry. People are going to be excited because numbers gone up. That's not something that I particularly care much about. And we can go into some of that later if you'd like, but I haven't checked the price of Bitcoin in over 3 years, but I do know what this industry works like because I've been in the industry for so long. But one of the things that we've definitely made like a pretty solid effort to try to do is to try to get to a more diverse crowd of Bitcoiners. So, you know, we are a Bitcoin only event. We focus only on Bitcoin, and a lot of the attendees are very much Bitcoiners down the rabbit hole. But from day dot, we've always made sure that, you know, we want to be open and welcoming to everyone. That's no coiners, shitcoiners, TradFi people, like everyone in between. Bitcoin Alive is for them too. Whenever they're ready to come through the doors, we'll be welcoming them. So, you know, part of that as well is making sure that it's not just this echo chamber of the same Bitcoiners talking the same Bitcoin content over and over and over again, which isn't welcoming to those who are like, hey, I'm new to this thing and I come at it from a different angle. I don't care so much about the difficulty adjustment. Maybe not yet. You know, I'm here because I care about freedom, or I care about personal responsibility, or whatever that might be, whatever the draw card to Bitcoin is for that particular individual. So part of our speaker set this year is addressing some of that. For instance, one of the speakers that we've got and that we've announced is a gentleman by the name of Pete Evans. You may or may not be familiar with him. He's like a somewhat celebrity. I don't know if he would call himself that, but I don't want to speak out of line for Pete. But Pete's basically been a professional chef and author, and he's long time professional in that realm of things, ran a number of different like sort of cooking reality shows and stuff like that. Basically, long story short, at some point in time, he got canceled because of his stance on COVID. You know, the media bashed him and basically he got thrown out of the room, or thrown out of that room. Turns out he's a Bitcoiner, which, you know, perhaps isn't such a surprise given some of his stances on some of those things. But obviously, you know, he comes from a different perspective. He's not like a lot of Bitcoiners who are engineers or techie nerd guys. He's a chef, professional chef. And so he cares deeply about people's personal responsibilities and health and looking after themselves and things like that. So obviously, you know, that angle into Bitcoin got him, because personal responsibility and freedoms and all of these things are very much principles that align with Bitcoiners. So yeah, getting him to come along to talk about his understanding of Bitcoin and what his lens looks like is going to attract a different crowd who are tangential to Bitcoin principles. You know, freedom people and people taking personal responsibility are very much people who are predisposed to understanding Bitcoin. Myself, I've gone the other way. So like Bitcoin's given me the freedom to then go, okay, how do I look after my health and do all these other things? So it's funny how all these things kind of go into each other one way or the other. So really excited to kind of branch out beyond the classic Bitcoiner crowd, try to get the next wave of Bitcoiners, because we want to grow this pie. We want more and more. You know, Bitcoin is for everyone, as I always say, including your enemies. So how do we get to our enemies? You know, that's the long-term goal, that everyone is a Bitcoin. What are the steps we can take to sort of get there progressively over time?
Very cool. I do want to ask you about something you said there, that you haven't checked the price of Bitcoin in 3 years, which I applaud you for. I myself try to do that as little as possible, but what's the story there?
Yeah, it's an interesting story as well. So it goes back a couple of years. I think it was 2021. At the end of 2021, I got my years right. I basically sent out a tweet saying like, hey, does anyone want to like take a bet with me? I'm not a gambling man, so it wasn't like a financial bet or anything like that, more of just like a challenge bet. Does anyone see how long we can go without checking the price of Bitcoin in dollar terms? I'm going to aim for a year and, you know, hoping to get some engagement. Maybe some say, hey, I'll take you on. You know, let's see how far we can go with this. I'm not famous enough or have not nearly enough as many followers for anyone to care about that. So it literally fell on deaf ears and no one even responded to my my request. But that didn't stop me. So I decided I'm going to do it anyway and we'll see what happens. You know, it's a bit of an experiment living on the Bitcoin standard. You know, I wanted to kind of take that next step of like, how can we actually start using Bitcoin as a unit of account and live more deeply in that world that I want to see unfold into the future? How do I bring that forward like right now? Because everyone's so hung up on, you know, the fiat price of Bitcoin and number go up that to me personally, I find it as a bit of a distraction to what the longer term goal is, which is separation of money from state and making Bitcoin become the monetary standard. If we keep getting hung up on the fiat aspect of it, like it will always be tied to it. It's like an anchor. So I was like, oh, I'm going to live it and see what happens. And so I started doing it and started documenting it. And initially, like people didn't really take me serious. They thought I was kind of having a laugh and, you know, this guy's not checking the price. Surely he's, you know, looking at it still. And people would like sort of tell me the price, like out of spite. They'd be like, the prices were, back then it was, I don't know, tens of thousands as opposed to what it is now. They'd say, oh yeah, it's 30,000. I'm like, you know, thanks for ruining the party for me, but I'm actually serious about this. You know, if you don't mind, I can't tell you what to do, but you know, I'm actually trying not to check the price. And so after a little bit of that and a little bit of like adding keywords that I didn't want in my Twitter feed and just kind of, you know, coming up with these mechanisms of scrolling past charts whenever I see them on my feed, I got quite good at it. And like after 6 months, people start like, he's actually serious about this. And so anyways, fast forward, I got to a year and I was like, cool, I made it to a year. I don't know what the price of Bitcoin is. And then I realized I'm just going to keep going. Like it actually hasn't made any negative impact on my life whatsoever. I have my strategy in place. I know what I'm doing with my finances. I've got my dollar cost average strategy in place like I have had for a long time, and that's going to continue. Whether I know the price now, next week, next month, or next year is not going to change that strategy. It's just going to distract me from what my ultimate goal is. So I thought, I'll just keep going. So I just kept going. I got to the end of year two and I was like, okay, this is just how it is now. I just don't check the price. And then I guess the only recent slip up, if you want to call it a slip up, was I think late last year, November, December, my memory's not great, but when we hit 100K, that was effectively unavoidable. Obviously, that was a long-term milestone for a lot of Bitcoiners. So the day that that happened, you know, people just said 100K and it was just, I could not miss it. So I was like, all right, cool. I guess we finally got there, which I always knew we would. Like, it's just another number. We're going to get to 1 million. We're going to get to 10 million. If you've done the work and you believe what this thing's going to do, then again, this is just all noise. So I did find out that late last year we hit 100K, but in terms of where we're at like today, like we're probably around 100K, maybe up, maybe down. But again, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't change my behavior. I'm still stuck on the same path of, you know, pushing forward Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's a trap, a self-inflicted trap for a lot of people on the anxiety that comes with it. But yeah. No, and I think it's such an interesting topic because, yeah, it's just a place that I feel like even just the conversation around it doesn't necessarily feel like it's optional for people. But yeah, I'm not nearly as far along as you are, but me too. I have a plan and it's very far away from now. So sort of what happens in the next few months or a few years even really isn't going to affect my life at all. And I certainly sleep soundly without, you know, having a hyper awareness. You know, and I said this in my book, like, you know, I think if people were monitoring, if they had the ability to monitor the price of their house, you know, even multiple times a day, very few people would be able to actually own a house. It would be so stressful to know that your house was fluctuating in price up or down 3 or 6% in a day. So it's just this really weird thing that's possible with Bitcoin in a way that is like, you know, also sort of new. It's like, but totally unnecessary.
Yeah. And look, there's a lot of nuance in this entire thing. It's not for everyone. People are at different stages of their Bitcoin life cycle. You know, some people are day traders. It's like unavoidable if you're a day trader. I'm not a trader, right? I think trading is gambling. And so I'm a saver and I want to choose to save in the best form of money and savings mechanism that there is. And that's Bitcoin. So my strategy is very simple. Dollar cost average, hold for 100 years. Like that's my goal. So what's more important to me is how do I keep it safe for 100 years? Not how, you know, what happens if it hits 250? Do I do something or, you know, what if it goes down 40%? It's like, that's all just taking me away from my ultimate goal, which is keeping my Bitcoin safe for generations to come. But yeah, it's very nuanced, right? Like a lot of people argue, but number go up is so important because that's what brings in new Bitcoiners. you know, someone buys a bit of Bitcoin, they buy $1,000 as an experiment, it goes up to $3,000, they go, whoa, now I'm suddenly more interested in my investment. And that takes them down the rabbit hole longer. I'm not disregarding any of that. Like, that's ultimately what got many of us down this path of Bitcoin. If that's what gets you in and gets you interested, then great. Like, it's doing its job. I'm just kind of fast forwarding to what I hope is the end, where fiat is totally like irrelevant and Bitcoin is the standard. Yeah, again, more of it is like a guinea pig. Like, I'm the crazy guy that's willing to do that because I've hung my hat on this pole. If Bitcoin goes to zero, then I go down with the ship. But if it doesn't, then, you know, hopefully we all sail away together on, you know, on a beautiful sunset. The only other person that I've kind of remotely seen talk about this or have this sort of opinion stance is Jeff Booth. I know you're a friend of Jeff's, and yeah, I'm a huge fan of Jeff and his work. His book, The Price of Tomorrow, is fantastic. It's probably like top two book for me. He's the only person that seems to sort of talk about this and like not just talk about it, but also walk about it. Like, you know, he's built his ego death capital and he's investing in the future and like he's living what he's preaching. But yeah, other than that, like I'm sure there are other people, other nobodies like myself. Jeff is obviously not a nobody out there who are kind of doing this and not thinking about the price. And yeah, it's funny to kind of challenge these things to yourself. Cause you know, your net wealth in fiat terms is going up significantly over time, but to rewire your brain into thinking on the sats dollar or the sats denominator is something really, really hard. It takes a lot of time and it's, you know, you gotta unwind a lot of stuff that you've basically grown up understanding and living in. And that's not easy to do.
No, it's not. And yeah, I think you made a few great points in there. I completely agree. Number go up technology is a critical recruitment tool for Bitcoin. And I hope it stays that way for some time for a number of reasons. But yeah, I wanted to maybe just touch in on, so you have a background with hardware and securing Bitcoin safely. And maybe for listeners who are on the newer end of the spectrum, like, you know, what are maybe your sort of like, you know, two or three things you think people should know about that subject or things that you've learned along the way that you could pass on that aren't related to price?
Yeah, sure. It's probably like the soft spot in my heart is helping people with their security and making sure that they understand the importance of self-responsibility and holding a bearer asset. Again, that alone is a huge fundamental rewiring of our brains. The idea of taking control and being the sole responsibility of your financial wealth is not something that I didn't grow up with that. Most people didn't. You know, we have banks, we have intermediaries that help us with all of this stuff and take that responsibility off our shoulders. And that's a huge weight for a lot of people. And to now say that, hey, well, actually, the future's going back the other way again. People just aren't ready for that. And it's scary. So I totally understand, you know, newcomers who are taking the bad shortcuts, but not knowing that they are and, you know, leaving their coins on exchanges, exposing their private keys to online environments. The analogy that I always use to people when they're starting out, or to be honest, even if they're not starting out, kind of anyone in Bitcoin, is think of it as a spectrum where at one end of the spectrum, you've got convenience. And at the other end of the spectrum, you've got security. And basically, you can determine by sliding yourself along that spectrum where you want to sit at any given time between those two properties. So, you know, I just got my first $50 worth of Bitcoin for signing up to some exchange, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to have a play and I'm going to learn. Okay, you probably just want to leave your Bitcoin on the exchange. It's $50. You got it for free. You're still learning. You don't understand the technicalities of wallets and private keys and all of that management. So the convenient way to do it would just be leave it on the exchange. They handle everything. They give you a username. They give you a password. You know, you set up 2FA on your account and then hope that they don't rug you and they don't go bankrupt. But if they do, it's $50. It's not the end of the world, right? But then maybe a few months go down and you go, okay, I've read the white paper. This is pretty cool. I'm reading other macro news and books and I'm starting to understand Bitcoin a little bit more deeply and I want to invest some more. Maybe I'm going to throw $5,000 into it this month. And suddenly that number is a more important number to someone than $50. And so they slide themselves along that scale away from convenience and closer to security. And so, you know, you might then go, okay, well, $5,000, if I woke up tomorrow and the exchange went bankrupt, I'd probably be pretty upset because that's, you know, that's a few weeks worth of wages. And that would suck to lose that, right? So I might take that Bitcoin off the exchange and I might put it into my own control. Maybe I'll use a software wallet or something like that. It's still fairly convenient. they obfuscate a lot of the confusion, but I do still have to manage a set of private keys. It's basically taking people along that journey based on what they perceive the value of that Bitcoin that they hold. Now, $5,000 to Michael Saylor is probably like spilling a cup of coffee. $5,000 to someone who's working a normal job, 9 to 5, and living from paycheck to paycheck, or, you know, not having that much expenditure available to them, then that's, you know, that's a lot more serious. So it's really up to the individual to determine where they position themselves along that spectrum. And, you know, I would suggest to most people, at least for any significant amount of money, get it onto a hardware wallet, at least get your private keys protected, get them offline and learn how to use one. It's really not that hard. There is so many great resources online now. When I first started 9 years ago, I had to figure it out myself, and I'm reasonably technical, but even back then there was still limited resources, and it took me a bit of time. But now you can just watch, you know, Ben from your motherland, who does great videos on pretty much every hardware wallet available. Like, watch that 15 minutes, give it a go, test with a little bit of sats, get the confidence of knowing how to use it, and then move the rest over. That's at least the best initial step I could recommend to someone who's just starting off, especially if they've got anything worth losing. Again, if you've got $10 or $20, probably don't get a hardware wallet. Hardware wallet might cost you $100 or $200 to get. It probably doesn't make any sense to own a hardware wallet for $10 worth of Bitcoin. But if you buy $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, whatever that number is, where suddenly it's like, okay, if I lost this, it would suck. Then it's maybe worth buying a $100 hardware wallet, spending half a day understanding how to use it, recover it, keep it safe, knowing that you can sleep well at night if something goes wrong with the exchange.
And that's Ben from the BTC Sessions. If you're listening and wondering who that was, Ben was on the show about a year ago right now, actually, and based out of Calgary. Yeah, Ben's a great guy, friend of the show for sure. And some of the best, some of the best online tutorials for sure. I myself, you know, I'm kind of on that spectrum of like, I definitely have taken my security very seriously, but, you know, I would be lying if I said I had air gap. You know, there's multiple levels of complexity of how serious you even want to get with your hardware wallets. And that's a journey I'm on myself. So
that's why I explain it like a spectrum, right? There are no perfect solutions along that spectrum. There are only trade-offs. That's all you can ever make. So if you're at one end with the convenient end, you know, it's super easy to use. Someone else takes responsibility for it. But the trade-off is if they get hacked, they get rugged, or they get, you know, deregulated or whatever that might be, you know, insert reason for exchange to lose your funds. There has been trillions of dollars lost on exchanges over the last 15 years, and that's going to continue to happen. Like, that is a trade-off. For me, that is a trade-off not worth making. Like I said, maybe it's worth making for $10, but it certainly ain't worth making for any meaningful amount of Bitcoin. And I'll let the listener determine what is a meaningful amount of Bitcoin to them. Because again, different people, different meaningful amounts. But no matter where you, even air-gapped, you mentioned air-gapped, you could have your seed phrase 24 words dug in 24 holes in 24 countries. Like, you would think like, I'm never getting hacked. Like, who the hell is going to find these 24 holes in 24 different countries at the same time before I get a sniff of this is even happening? Like, that's probably really secure, but it's extremely inconvenient. And like, I would not recommend that for a few thousand or even maybe a few hundred thousand. Like, you would probably need to be Michael Saylor's level Bitcoin balance to be able to go, okay, I can jump on a plane for a couple of days and fly to 24 different countries if I had to. That is possible, right? Like, that's an extreme example. Like, I don't think anyone's actually doing anything like that. But regardless, whatever you choose, it's not perfect. It's just going to be something that you have decided you're comfortable with making the trade-offs that are involved with that. And so again, you need to be very nuanced about this and be realistic about it. A air-gapped hardware wallet with a stamped seed plate and, you know, all this sort of stuff, like, it's good if you understand how it works. But you need to understand what the trade-offs are for that particular arrangement. Like, if you're the only person that knows the passphrase and where the location of it is, if something happens to you, you're a single point of failure. So if you get hit by a bus, which, you know, could happen in any moment, there's no like a warning where it's like, hey, you'll be hit by a bus in 1 month from now. Like, you just walk outside, you step on the wrong side of the road and hit by a bus. What happens to your Bitcoin? If you're the only person that has the passphrase and knows the location of the recovery phrase, that's it. Goodbye, Bitcoin. And we know that there have been millions, like, it's anyone's guess, but somewhere between 3-5 million coins have been lost permanently because people have misplaced hard drives or not understood those trade-offs in whatever security model that they were using at that time. So, you know, I'll just say to the listeners, you know, progress through that spectrum as it makes sense and as your anxiety levels increase. Like if you're thinking like, shit, like I don't want to be a single point of failure. If I get hit by a bus, I want my Bitcoin to go to my wife or my kids or my beneficiaries, then you need to start thinking about, okay, what is a mechanism in place that I can put in place that protects me from that particular outcome? It's going to introduce its own set of trade-offs, but you know, you're solving one set of trade-offs with another set. And you, at some point, you have to be comfortable with something because there is always some level of trade-off.
Hey, everyone, quick question. Have you ever thought about starting a video podcast like this one? I want to introduce you to the team behind my show, Podigy. This podcast has been one of the best marketing tools for our business. And thanks to Podigy, all I have to do is hit record. They handle everything else, editing, writing, publishing, and making sure that it's perfectly optimized for every platform. They only work with disruptors, mavericks, and changemakers, and people making a real difference, spreading big ideas. Typically, Podigy is fully booked, but right now they have a few spots open for new clients. Listeners of this show get 10% off launching their own podcast or optimizing their current one. Click the link in the bio for a free one-on-one podcast planning session with Podigy. If you are thinking about starting a podcast or you have one and you want to take it to the next level, I can't recommend Podigy enough. Check them out.
Yep, absolutely.
Maybe just to bring it back to Bitcoin Live for as we wrap the conversation, if we have listeners who are tuning in from Australia or who are close enough that they might be able to attend, and what do they need to know? Where do they go? And what are you hoping happens on that day?
Yeah, look, if anyone's listening and interested in coming along, you can check us out on all of the social channels. We're across pretty much all of them: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Nostr, everything. You'll find us at Bitcoin Alive. Our website's www.bitcoinalive.io. All of the information is getting released there. So speakers, the program when that's available, sponsors, exhibitors, everything you'll find there, FAQs, the whole shebang. I welcome anyone to come along regardless of what stage of Bitcoin you're at. We do a lot of work intentionally with our programming to make sure that there is content geared towards beginners. We even make note of that on our program through some asterisks and other little mechanisms to say, hey, like this is a beginner-friendly session. And there's always at least half a dozen of those. So please do come along. You might surprise yourself and find that, you know, this is a pretty cool community and I'm actually having a good time and I'm learning a hell of a lot. It might just be the kickstarter of your Bitcoin journey. That's actually like a little bit of a nod to the branding of Bitcoin Alive. Like, you know, we've got the word alive in it. We wanted, you know, the event to sort of mark a moment in time for everyone, and everyone can assign their own meaning to that. But at least from when Bitcoin Alive began, you know, Bitcoin became alive in this country. Obviously, it had been alive well and truly before then, even for me personally. But, you know, we want to give that kind of that feeling of like, hey, you can start your journey here, or you can, it could be a fork in the road where you meet someone at the event and it kickstarts a new business or a new venture or whatever that might be. This is the heartbeat of Bitcoin in this country. We want everyone to come along to experience that. We've got some really cool exciting announcements to share at the event as well. Some things that have never been done before in this country are happening. I've been drip feeding a little bit of information about this, but you know, come along and you'll get to experience that for yourself. I was actually, funny side story here. I was at the Adopting Bitcoin conference in 2022, and there was a presidential after party that Bukele invited a bunch of people to, and I was lucky enough to get an invitation. And so everyone's probably seen that party that was thrown where he announced the volcano bonds. I was actually at that party and it was really cool. Obviously, you know, being in El Salvador was a pinch your skin moment as well. But, you know, just to be part of that kind of history is always something I'm looked back really fondly on. So come along to the event on March 8th. There'll be some history making moments happening there on that day as well. One other thing I also want to mention is that I didn't get to touch on earlier when you asked, you know, what's something new or something different happening. We've actually, just as of a couple of days ago, announced a special sort of side event, I guess you could call it, which is part of the broader Bitcoin Week program that we've coined here in Australia that encompasses Bitcoin Alive and a number of different things. But we've announced a Women in Bitcoin breakfast, which is happening the morning of Bitcoin Alive. So again, one of the things that we're trying to do is make Bitcoin for everyone and invite everyone to come along. And so we've come up with this. This has been done at other conferences around the world as well. Obviously, I haven't intended because I'm not the right kind for obvious reasons. But, you know, we're putting on that because we want more women to be, we want more everyone's to be involved in this industry. But specifically, like, you know, half our team is female and they come and discuss the program internally with us. And, you know, some of the feedback we get from them is, you know, like, it's just a bit too technical and I'm not interested in mining and, you know, all the things that us nerds are like, oh my God, tell me more about it. You know, a lot of the women just don't really find that appealing. They find other things appealing. So that's what we're trying to achieve. One of the things we're trying to achieve with this Women in Bitcoin Breakfast is to, you know, say, hey, we're welcoming, we're open, we're listening, and we want to be able to cater to the experiences that women Bitcoiners want to experience. So yeah, that's a free event happening the morning of Bitcoin Alive. So I would urge anyone that's perhaps, you know, first time going to a Bitcoin conference or a bit unsure or maybe was a little scared of the content or whatever, like come along to this, dip your toes in. You might find other amazing women that you can converse with and you might start building a community around that. And then hopefully this thing can kick off and we can see more and more people coming in through the doors of Bitcoin Alive in future years.
Absolutely. So we will we'll include in the show notes all of the links that you mentioned. And for anyone who's listening and is close enough to get there or is not even close enough, but is looking for a reason to get there, get yourself to Bitcoin Alive. It's going to be a ton of fun. I'm so thrilled to have the opportunity to be a part of it. And yeah, I'm really excited to meet all of you guys in person. So thank you again for coming on the show, Chris. It's been a real pleasure. And if you are listening and you made it all the way to the end of the episode, I want to thank you as well for tuning in and hope to see you next week.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Block Reward. We're trying to do something different here, creating accessible conversations meant for people who aren't obsessed with Bitcoin. If you found this episode informative and engaging, hit that subscribe button to make sure you stay updated with future episodes. Your feedback matters. We'd greatly appreciate it if you could take a moment to share your reviews and help us with our goal of creating Bitcoin content that is simple and easy to understand. Bitcoin has an important role to play in the future of finance. It will change the way we save, spend, and invest. Discover why Bitcoin offers a game-changing opportunity for forward-thinking employers by visiting blockrewards.ca. Block Rewards' mission is helping Canadian employers implement strategies for integrating Bitcoin into compensation and benefits, supercharge your recruitment and retention strategies, and help your team members plan for the rising cost of living by rewarding their work with the hardest money ever invented. Special thanks to our top sponsor, Paramount Employee Benefits Consulting, Canada's only Bitcoin-forward benefits and pension advisory. For more information, find them at paramountbenefits.ca. Big shout out to Podigy, our production team that makes all this possible, and BMX Escape for producing our music. Bitcoin is an expansive and dense topic many people walk away from early. To Bitcoin enthusiasts looking for that podcast they can share with friends, family, and colleagues, one they'll actually listen to, we hope that is us. The content of these conversations is meant to be provided for information purposes only. Nothing here is investment advice. Bitcoin is a big topic. Be sure to do your own research before making any personal financial decisions. Thanks for listening.